Hello, good evening and welcome. This is Australian Transformers Weekly. We are your first choice for Transformers news in Australia. This is episode 124. We are recording live on the 22nd of September, 2017. We do record kind of late on a Friday night. So as we just pointed out in the pre-show, my yawning can get in the way of things. But Rest assured, dear listener, that the yawning has nothing to do with you and everything to do with Brad. And I'm not going to name which Brad it is because we have two of them this week. We have Brad coming to us live from TCCA HQ in Barnawatha, Victoria. How are you doing, Brad?
Good evening. Yes, hopefully a busy week, but a weekend of fun and excitement down in Melbourne.
Yes, is South Australia having its birthday party this weekend as well, or is that next weekend?
It certainly is. No, it's this weekend as well, and so is Brisbane.
Cool. In terms of Bradception and duplication of Brad, we attempted to run Brad through a photocopy machine, and it didn't really work.
Yeah, you tried to photocopy his bum, and you ended up with me, didn't you?
So I need to just call you Brad and Groovy Guy. Sorry. So yes, we do have Groovy Guy, who's been a longtime friend of the podcast. It is nice to have you back on. It has been a while. How are you doing, sir?
Yes, it has been a while. I haven't been on for a while because I was subjected to Transformers the last night, and I've been in hospital recovering. But it's very nice to be back. Hello, everyone.
Fantastic. So to the question of what everyone has been up to this week, Brad, I think you already answered, but Groovy Guy, what have you been up to? What have you been up to for the last few months, in fact?
Still buying figures, still doing an excellent review every now and again. Last couple of weeks has been Destiny 2 on PS4, tragic alert, I know, but other than that, just generating groovy vibes all over the place.
Lovely.
Spreading grooviness everywhere.
My lonely.
Fantastic. So So I'll tell you what I've been up to this week has been recovering from last weekend. So I'm just going to segue straight into it. So last weekend was the opening salvo in the TCCA fourth birthday parties. We like to do things in September around the country, and Sydney opened it up last week with a big party at Transformers 1989. Well, the event was called Transformers 1989. We took over the 1989 bar cafe kitchen at Newtown, which was a fantastic little cafe that has a lot of arcade machines that are in varying states of repair, and they were kind enough to let us have the place for Sunday afternoon and Sunday evening. And we put on this was the scene. So this is actually the end of Sunday night. So what did we do? So Sunday afternoon, we all gathered. We had that table in the middle full of Transformers. We cleared all the Transformers and we did some speed forming contests. We did Transformers trivia for a couple of hours, and we also watched three episodes of the G1 cartoon. And these are all the people who were still there at the end of it, which is kind of amazing considering the last time we put on the G1 movie at a meetup, everyone left.
Oh. Yep.
Yeah, so we have been discussing exactly what we should show at the event. And as it turns out, we had the good fortune to have actually planned the event to take place exactly, precisely 24 hours off the 33rd anniversary of the broadcast of the first episodes of G1. So that pretty much sealed the deal. We showed the first three episodes of Transformers G1. And dare I say, everyone really enjoyed it. And I think they enjoyed it more than they would have enjoyed watching the movie.
Yep. No, I got to, you also had the live stream up for the event as well, which I got 2 hours through it before I had to go to bed. But
we did. Yeah, I think the main viewers of the live stream were yourself and Simon. There was a good number of views on the live stream. I think it got up to about 500 or so. So I think people might have been jumping in and out all night. So yeah. Big thanks to people for watching the live stream. Big thanks to Michael, our New South Wales state rep, and Joel Friedman for putting the whole event together. And a huge thank you to everyone for turning up. Very impressive.
Yeah, that's it. We can organise these things, but unless people actually turn up to them, but it can make them a little bit upsetting, but you'd massive turnout here, plenty of bots. One thing I did notice during that whole live stream, no one touched that Ninja Turtles arcade game behind them.
Yeah, I kind of feel like people might have been scared to. I don't know. So here's a bit of a view of the room, like a bit of a panorama I took. You can actually just see the live stream camera right over the right on the wall. And there was sort of the upstairs area, some folks looking at dinner, I think, at that point. In fact, if you look at the time, this would have been sometime between 5:30 and 6 or so, because speed forming was on according to the big screen. We're not going to get any audio out of it, but it doesn't really matter if we do or not. We have an example of a speed forming run, but rather than show that one, I think I'm going to go with Ben Keenan's one. Now, this was not his winning run, but it was damn close. So if we let that load up, we'll see Ben.
Ladies and gentlemen.
No, I think it's more Google Photos, really.
Oh, fair enough.
So here we go. And so I got to say, this was my technique to handle the trailer first and get that done and then focus on the bot. Because once that's ready, like you can just leave the trailer alone. Now, he did fumble.
Ten seconds and the trailer's done.
Yeah. He did fumble here. He dropped the fist out there. And I think, was that someone helping him out and giving him the fist back?
I think it was.
So I don't know, Brad, if you wanted to lodge a dispute over his time beating you there we go. So this is what we do for speed forming contests. Like we time a transformer of a G1 Optimus Prime and see who is fastest on the night. And so there's also just a bunch of sort of pictures I took of the figures that were on display and having a good look at there. You know, I didn't even notice that book there either, but yeah. And so there's a
you also had the Mystery Convoy there as well, which so with the English dub.
Correct, we do, and we did have it. People were very happy playing Mystery of Convoy until they actually had to play it. And once people had to play it, this was basically the scene. It was just sitting there on the home screen because it's not very good now. 1989 does now have a Masterpiece Grimlock that I've donated to them to keep up behind the bar. They have promised.
Oh, wow.
They've promised to take very good care of him. And Michael went to a great effort to actually redo the menu for the night. Let me just zip down here and show you. So we had the Energon menu for booze and food. I don't think we touched the actual. We didn't touch the actual cocktail names because that would have been really confusing for the staff. But, so we had Energon snacks, and we had green Energon for salads and Energon mains. So the mains we did rename. So we had the Prime Burger, Laserbeak Burger, Shark Tacon Burger, which is the seafood, Botanica, which is the vegetarian burger, and the Seacon plate was fish and chips.
Nice. Of course, Laserbeak's the chicken one.
Yeah, of course. It's close enough, right?
Yeah.
So we didn't really touch the desserts much either, but you know, it was fun to see the effort that we could put into, and also like just how much the venue actually just allowed us to mess with their stuff for the night. So it was really good of them. And so at one point, Mikey and I sat down and did an interview for Joel's videographer, so that'll turn up on Joel's YouTube channel soon, just talking a bit about the club and its birthday and the podcast. And
yeah, we talked about that last week, so the link for his channel's in last week's friendship, but I'll put it in here as well.
Yeah, and so here's a little bit of a so this video actually is just sort of taking a little bit of a look at the 1989 venue. So in from the front door we can go through here and look at that wonderful frame rate I'm getting on Hangouts. I'm sorry that I thought that might come across a little bit better, but yeah. So this was actually during Kelvin's attempt at speed forming, and I think he's just been caught out on a technicality there. There is Mystery of Convoy sitting at the bar. You can't quite see it there. There's Masterpiece Grimlock, and you can just see the You can just see the red TV below as I pan back here. Oh, no, you can't. Fair enough. And so here we are into the other room, and like this is where the serious Transformers stuff is happening. I believe that's Mikey's Fort Max with his sword upgrade kits that he talked about last week. Mm-hmm. And yes, I mean we had a bit of a look there, and just to always nice to sort of have a bit of a look at the bots. Excuse me. The bots that are on display.
Well,
see what's there.
Yeah, because I know we're trying to push for a sort of a 1989 theme too with some of the bots that are going to be on display.
Yeah. And so, 1989 has a nice sort of I was going to say like a period piece decoration, but it's not period. But they do have a lot of video covers on the wall, VHS covers, and their wallpaper up the back is actually a spread out V for Vendetta comic. So yeah.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, huge fun. I really enjoyed it. I hope everyone else enjoyed it as well. And yeah, looking forward to doing it again. I believe Michael is making some plans for a Christmas gathering. Don't quote me on that. But yeah, so we should have another New South Wales meetup happening in a couple of months' time.
Yep. No, it was great feedback from all, so definitely great to see.
Shall we move on to this rather excellent photo, which won our Take Your Bot to Work Day competition this week? This photo is from Daryl Anderson, and he's helping Gnaw to get back to his natural habitat because Sharkticons love water, and he's heading straight for that water there. So, we'll see how it goes.
No, fantastic shot.
Yeah, good
job. Just expecting to see Home and Away show up now.
he may actually get trodden on by the surf lifesavers from Summer Bay.
Oh well.
So, Take Your Bot to Work Day is a weekly competition in the TCCA discussion group on Facebook. There's a post every week that invites people to post pictures of their bots outside of their glass or whatever display cabinets. Take them out. Put them in the real world, and seriously, that sand will never come out of that transformer. It will be found inside it forever for the next 20 years.
Yeah,
it'll be that one day that he took his Sharkticon to the beach and just took a stupid photo.
All that exposure to the sunlight as well is not going to do the colors any good.
Yeah, look, yeah, that 2 minutes that he actually spent, out of the shade in direct sunlight, it'll be terrible for him.
Yeah, horrible.
Now, Brad, you had an honourable mention for Michael Fouché there, and
yeah,
I actually don't have his. I do, because if I just scroll down there, there we go.
Yeah. Because there was the highest votes we've had so far. The winner, Daryl, got 18, and Michael got 17. So, for his honourable mention, for Masterpiece Ratchet and Combined Wars Ratchet. No, Combined Wars First Aid.
Ratchet's got to teach him how to. Ratchet's got to teach him how to be a doctor sooner or later, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
And not a forklift, preferably. So we're done with Take Your Bot to Work Day. Shall we move on to some news?
Let's see how dismal this week's going to be.
We're going to move swiftly on and get to the news. Straight into news.
Hasbro news.
That will take us into some news.
What news comes from by yonder?
Well, I was going to say let's move on to the news with a slight caveat for people that, we did scrape the bottom of the barrel with news this week. It's fairly light on. Just an early warning for you.
But, I admire your effort to try and talk it up in the beginning, and then we can just all hear your disdain right at the end.
I'll say that, but I actually really like this story. So, this story came up a couple of days ago, or was it today, on TFW about early Transformers G1 concept art. And so I find this really interesting going back and looking at what people were envisaging right at the beginning of G1, because there's a few designs that were not used in the series here. So this one looks like it was actually a sort of an Autobot themed carry case, and you can see that it would have actually opened up to, you know, sort of have a bit of a base mode, something like a playset you could a playset for your Transformers.
Yeah,
screams early Matchbox, like sort of.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? That's probably why it didn't get made.
I also don't see how can it be, because it was meant to be for a storage case, wasn't it? Since I don't see any.
I think this is more of a playset.
Okay. Yeah.
You could put some of the Autobot cars in there, I suppose, but.
You could, yes. I don't see how you could. It's not expected to store. It's just like, yeah, the handle on it is so you can take it to your friend's place and, you know, play Transformers with them.
Or school and get it lost.
That too. There's actually some cool concepts in here. If you look at it, like the Autobot symbol on the front is sort of folded down, and there's actually fold out guns where those black stripes are. I'm quite impressed with that. The handle obviously seems to sort of fold up and actually become a part of the playset. If you see that there as well.
And, yeah, it's like a height bar or no entry sticker on it.
Yeah, it's like a toy garage or something as well. But it sort of makes me wonder if anyone actually did produce like a prototype of this or something. I wonder if this is around. And also, does it look like someone's actually like liquid papered mistakes out of here? It's like around there. There's little parts that are just slightly whiter than others.
Yeah, it could just be coffee cup stains or something.
Yeah, totally could be. So secondly, there's a very different look at Metroplex.
At least
they say it's Metroplex. It might not actually be, because like the face doesn't actually look particularly Metroplexy, but the rest of it sort of does. And so you can actually see that looks like Jazz. In the second shot there, sort of driving out of a garage of some kind. And it looks like either Sideswipe or Sunstreaker stuck inside his own compartment with no way out because there's no ramp.
Looks like he's got what would eventually become Fort Max's shin guns, but they look like they also fold down to form feet.
Yeah, it looks like that, doesn't it?
Yeah. And the city mode looks very, very weird.
Yeah, and the four car stacks for his shoulders, where the original one just had the single. Yeah.
Look, I mean, you know, these are the ideas, and maybe the ideas, you know, have a few troubles getting into reality.
But the same, just with that city mode, like you've got a car wash and a repair bay, and like all this other smaller detail, it's just again screams Matchbox. I'm pretty sure I've seen playsets, Matchbox playsets from the mid-80s that had the exact same sort of car wash layout.
That car wash thing looks familiar, yeah.
Yeah.
Just consider for a minute what they've drawn on here, right? You can see a bot up here that I assume is Prowl. This thing was meant to be huge.
Yeah, that there's a lot bigger. Enormous.
Yeah. I don't think this one is actually Metroplex. I think this is just a playset.
Yes, it does actually.
Diaclone Station, so.
Yeah, it does too. That's right. I didn't notice that. And this one I quite like, this last one. This shows an idea of Prime turning into a bit of a base. Now, we know the size that Prime ended up at, so like my guess is that this is sort of this is also actually a Diaclone effort, because that would be where you send your pilots in and out of him if that was to open up that way.
But we're not seeing any scale here, because that could be Micromasters that go in and out of there, or
the G1 toy, and it's actually the pilots from Diaclone.
Yeah, because if you look at the Prime, the middle one split up, you can see sort of like his arms have gone from truck to half robot, and these smokestacks are being turned down.
Oh yeah, I can see the parts for G1 Prime there, but they could be Titan class Devastator size, just so you can park Autobots in him.
Yeah.
No, true. I think the idea was that it was something that they might do with the G1 toy, but they abandoned that idea instead of just... They just had the cab that folded down instead.
They probably sent it to the people who made the toys for Mask.
I was thinking that they probably sent this design off to the manufacturing floor and they were just like, no, you can open the cab and that's about it.
Yeah.
So anyway, we thought that was this would be a nice sort of nice look back at some ideas for G1 that were abandoned. This, like, it's pretty rare these days to actually find something new about G1. Mm. So yeah, it's really good. Now this came from a particular user, Twitter user called Mia Kira 2017. Just gonna open up their. Well, there we go. So I'm just going to open up their Twitter page and I can't actually... Okay, that's probably not...
Oh, it gets a bit...
Yeah, right. I'm just going to go back. That's going well.
That's why we do rehearsals.
Oh, I just thought I'd click that live and... it's not
well.
As you were saying before, though, I don't think these would have been realized at all because they would be on the same tier as that G1 Unicron toy. You know, there would have been some pictures from something.
Probably these, right, yeah.
Yeah. Probably just drawn up instead. Oh, they'll be nice, but no.
I mean, I'm quite impressed at the level of detail that they've gone into in these sketches as well. Like that. So that Optimus Prime, like that is... That is like sketched and inked over, and yeah, it's very, very detailed, like down to rivet lines on the toy.
Yeah. Would be a nightmare to get stickers into that little section, though.
Oh, yeah.
it might not be. It looks like the only thing that would have a sticker, it might be the back. It might just flip over.
Oh, yeah, true.
Yeah. It does actually...
Well, the head would have to be there somewhere.
Well, I was going to say it does sort of belie a few differences in things, but...
Actually, if you look at the open mode and then you see the robot mode with the guns, maybe the head's actually sort of tucked into between those guns.
Possibly. The head might actually be at the back as well.
Yeah.
So anyway, nice look. And the link to this story is in the show notes, and we advise that you do not click the link through to the source Twitter account.
Well, we've probably just given some ideas to third-party companies as well watching this show.
Oh, man, can you imagine someone actually building a G1 Prime that does this? That would be crazy. Even that
Metroplex.
Yeah. Don't give people ideas.
Question is, what scale would you want that Optimus Prime? Would you want it to be the same size as the G1 toy or maybe the size bigger?
You know, I reckon someone should start with a KO Prime. just start modifying the mold from there. So, yeah, exactly the same size, I'd say.
Fair enough. Get working third-party companies.
So the thing that I find interesting about this is I don't quite see what happens to the cab.
Well, I don't know where the front of it is.
Mm. Unless it...
Oh,
unless
it's on the roof. Look where the cannons are. The windows, front door windows are on this side at the very back. That whole front gun section comes down and sits down at the front. Those guns must retract or fold around on themselves.
Yeah.
Maybe they just detach.
Sure. Yeah, they might detach like the arm guns.
Got to wonder where that ramp goes as well.
That's what I'm getting at. I don't quite see where the windows in the cab have gone.
Yeah, unless maybe the windows sort of turn to the side and they become that bigger ramp that you can see is touching the ground in front of the bumper bar.
Mm. Anyway, it is just a concept. So this might well be why it wasn't made. Designers like you wanted to go where?
Yeah. Where's the other bit go?
Where's the rest?
Oh, no, I just drew it. I drew it. You're going to make it.
Yeah, I just designed it, right?
Be like Homer Simpson when he designs his car. Just put that up on the wall and go.
Now, we are going to segue slightly from some designs and ink going on paper to talk about a little bit of comic news, which is that came out this week that Alex Milne will be returning to Transformers Lost Light for issue number 13. And you can see the cover here as well, with some fantastic Milne artwork. He's, the amount of detail that he puts in his figures is fantastic. And I really think that so Lost Light for me has actually really become almost about Jack Lawrence's artwork as well. And so while it's nice to see Milne back, and there is it is a one-off issue, but apparently he will be returning for a longer run later. Like, I am quite happy with the artwork in the book at the moment. So I do appreciate Milne's artwork, but I do want to see the book stick with Jack. Who else reads the comics? Brad certainly doesn't. Groovy guy, do you?
I've only been collecting the the recent releases that have been the compilations. Like, the first one was Target 2006.
Right. So you're collecting the definitive G1 collection ones.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Nice. They're fantastic.
They're
awesome. So I'm not sure if we actually talked about this or not, but it took me a while, and I've ummed and ahed about it, and I've actually decided not to collect them. There's a really good reason for that, though, which is I've already got the comics, and I've got the original Marvel G1 comics 1-80. I've got a bunch of the G2 comics. I've got probably about 60-70% of the Marvel UK G1s. I've got all the IDW comics. It's like, why am I going to spend $1,800 to put them in a hardcover and recollect them again and pay for the same comics again over the space of 3 years? No.
Because you're supporting your hobby, Jason. It's very important to support your hobby.
It's very important that my hobby does not bankrupt me.
Okay, but aren't these definitive ones released in color? That's what I was led to believe.
Some of them, so the very early UK Marvel ones are being released in color for the first time. So they were originally published in black and white. Yeah. This series has been published every 2 weeks since January this year in the UK, and none of the issues that they've published have actually gone into that Marvel UK territory where they're being colored for the first time. So bit of a shame, but there we go.
Well, I mean, I got issue one just because it's Target 2006, and that's a story I've read a lot about, but I haven't actually read it. So it was just nice to have a copy of it.
Do you know what I realized as I was actually reading Target 2006 in the definitive collection?
What's that?
When I was young, I actually did not even realize that I had missed issues.
Oh, really?
There were a couple of issues during just the run of Target 2006 that my newsagent obviously never got in because I did not remember some parts of that story.
Yeah. Well, it just goes to show their narrative, though. It's not always the one thing. It's always background stories. So some of the issues you mentioned are probably just background issues that you didn't see.
Yeah. Well, so, like, I mean, I was a kid, so, like, I'd pick up the comic and be like, hey, what's going on this week? I've got no idea why this doesn't make any sense, but whatever.
Fair enough. Yeah, true.
So, it is good to see Milne coming back to... It's not so much the universe that he created, but he really defined the More Than Meets the Eye universe with such detailed panels on just have a look at the amount of detail on the panel just at the top showing like the ship's systems there and stuff. It is pretty amazing the work that he puts into things. And it is also quite interesting taking that picture there of Rodimus and comparing that to a figure that I just happen to have here being the MMC Calidus, and just seeing how close they actually got to making their figure actually really match up quite well with what Rodimus was doing on screen. And like, there are points where you can see the three dots on his legs, and you can see that they've matched those dots on Calidus's legs and stuff. So like, they really put a lot of effort into getting that stuff right. It's kind of interesting as well. I can see the arrows go the wrong way. That's it.
Misprint.
Yeah, it's going back to MMC quality control. That's terrible. But they have done such a good job with their figures, and I do have a couple of MMC figures that I've received this week that we'll be talking about later in the show. Alex Milne returns to Lost Light. Now, there was a bit of a controversy a few weeks ago around this figure, the Make-Toys Galaxy Meteor. Now, this guy is a third-party Masterpiece-style rendition of Galaxy Force Starscream, which has kind of set the world ablaze in a few limited editions of this guy slipped out at TF Nation in the UK, and the people who purchased it have been dutifully taking photos of it. It is a gorgeous, gorgeous looking figure, and by all accounts, one of the highlights of the year. It was cancelled unceremoniously a few weeks ago because the pre-orders were not high enough, not enough for Make Toys to make make money off it appropriately. This cancellation was met with a ton of fan outcry and much gnashing of teeth and unhappy, sad tweeting on Twitter and sad messages on Facebook. Make Toys has actually decided to bring the figure back and sell it at $99, which is quite cheap for a third party Masterpiece style figure. And frankly, I want one, and I'm going to be pre-ordering him as soon as I see someone put him up for pre-order. Brad, have you had much to do with Galaxy Force as you've been looking at the Transformers over the course of your collecting history?
No, not really. I've got a little itty bitty Legends version of that mold.
Hmm.
I missed out on one of the Supreme class ones, but
this is one from Transformers 1989. Oh, yeah. So you can sort of see the original there versus what Make Toys has done too.
Yeah. Yeah. Now my supplier hit me up a couple of months ago about putting this up in the group, and I did, and there was not much interest. And I said, yeah, no one wants a Masterpiece Galaxy Force or Unicron Trilogy stuff. Yeah, it's a bit too early.
Yeah, I think I agreed at the time as well. But, like, and you know, I didn't pre-order it from you either, so fair enough too. But
that's why it was cancelled.
Well, I didn't pre-order it.
Those pre-orders wouldn't have...
Once I saw it come out... Those
wouldn't have come out.
Sure, but once I saw it come out, I'm very interested in it now. And like I have actually always thought that the Galaxy Force version of Starscream was quite a good design. It was different enough, but still, very obviously Starscream. And the Make Toys version, being a Make Toys product, he's quite got quite a lot of articulation, and he's got quite a good face sculpt too. You can see on the box there, he's got his sort of trademark betrayal sneer.
Yeah,
this is just going to all the other photos. No. So Make Toys Galaxy Meteor is coming back to order. He will be cheaper, and they are hoping that will drive up the number of pre-orders.
Have they said though with the price drop if that means they're going to be changing anything in the quality of the figure, like cheaper materials or?
Well, the molds would have already existed, so I reckon they're just going to up the production run and hopefully sell more.
Yeah, true.
After the if they've had a look at how many people have sort of cried out that it's getting cancelled, and go, well, all these people said they're disappointed, now we bring it back and they don't order it, then.
So I think it's also important to note. So they put quite a statement out with this announcement, and they said the pre-order numbers were too low, but they also said they're very proud of the figure and have been spending a lot of their best efforts on it. And so they think it's one of the best figures they've ever produced. And they also let slip later in the statement that they're all actually big fans of Galaxy Force, and they do plan to continue making figures based on Galaxy Force. Mm. So it's not just a flash in the pan, and hopefully they'll Yeah, hopefully they'll be able to see a little bit more success. As I think they've had a really great opener with this figure. It's just a shame that it didn't catch on with the fans when it was meant to, but it does seem to have now.
Yeah, definitely. I'm starting to wonder maybe if they just did that whole cancel of pre-orders just to put a bit of controversy about.
Do you think you're afraid that it was a false flag operation?
Yes.
Mr. Groovy Guy, you might be fake news.
I get some orange hair. I just said, with this picture though, those fingers look remarkably short.
So I think what you might find is that his hand actually extends down to the blue part. So those are actually the top of his fingers. If you look over on this side, you can see the ball joint in the hand there.
Yeah, I suppose. Mm. Just maybe the angle or something. It just looks like he's just dropped the beer can. He's saying, stupid stubby fingers.
Stupid things, yeah. I had noticed that, but yeah, I think they're just the front of the hand, whereas the back sort of from here down is the blue part.
Yeah, and did I see in the other picture he comes with a Cyber Planet key or whatever their version is going to be?
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to be functionality or just a little throw-in extra piece for him to hold.
Functionability.
Mm. Made up words, folks.
We are fake news, actually, as it turns out. yeah, what? That is actually, I had not noticed the planet key. That is cool. Mm.
Hmm. It might be gimmick in there for it to work.
He does look really good, though. I think the closest I've come to this mold is Shattered Glass Starscream. I think he's a repaint of this mold or something, but it's a pretty different mold.
Do you mean the original Shattered Glass Starscream in the real Shattered Glass series? I think you might be right about that. If memory serves, that's a white Starscream, isn't it? White and blue?
Yeah, he's done in Jetfire's colors.
Hmm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, okay. I don't know. I'm also anxious to sort of find out what they're going to do next. Really, they say to stay tuned to the TFCon third party panel. Like that is an event that rolls around about once a year, guys.
Yeah.
I can foresee in the future of this line, we're going to be getting a Skywarp and Thundercracker recolor.
True. That might even be one of the reasons why they chose to do Starscream first. It's like, we can do Starscream, then someone else, then come back and repaint this mold and do someone else, then come back and repaint this mold and do someone else again.
Yeah. So the next original mold will probably be Optimus Prime.
Maybe.
Then Ultra Magnus, and then...
I'm not sure that Ultra Magnus... I'm not sure what Ultra Magnus was in Colorado. I think he actually was a truck of his own accord. I might be thinking of animated though.
Yeah, no, I was thinking that because there's that little Fort Max or Metro. One of the city bots is only a small bot too.
Metroplex in Metroplex, Galaxy Force. Yeah, he is a normal size bot. Cool. Shall we move on?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we got got final product images of Dr. Wu's next upgrade kit, which is the shield and sword for Voyager Optimus Prime for the last night, which in typical Dr. Wu style does carry with it quite a lot of detail and does add quite a lot to the figure as well. So you can see it there. It is called Judgment.
Shield opens up, but...
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Could that was put a bit more paint on it?
maybe it could have a little bit more paint on it, but...
I was talking about all the grey.
So if you look at the sword, I actually think the grey actually might be painted.
Hmm.
Not in the first shot, but I see it on the second shot. I think it's painted in the when he's Optimus actually holding it.
Yeah, it looks like it's got a decent amount of panel lining on it. Just maybe it depends on the angle that you catch it as well, because like it doesn't look out of place with the rest of the bot either.
Yeah, it looks like a different kind of grey, but at the same time, a kind of grey that would go along with the base character, or base toy, I should say.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that looks pretty good. Doctor Wu's well known for making quite a lot of third-party upgrade kits, guns and accessories and stuff for figures. So, yeah, nice to see it go.
Yeah, nice to see him back because they've done the only human they little did, figures. And
so long between releases for these guys.
Yeah, because I don't even think we've seen that Mixmaster for Combined Wars Devastator yet, have we? I haven't seen anyone post about it. But that's got to be over.
That's a couple of years gone now. I have a feeling that they've done it, but I'm not sure whether or not it ended up being something that people thought they really needed.
So maybe is this the one that came with the Prowl head for Devastator, or
No, that was Perfect Effect. Perfect Effect upgrade kits.
No, this was just a completely replacement Mixmaster.
Oh, that's right. I thought it was the replacement cab. No,
it was a whole thing, and actually made it G1 Mixmaster that combined in the same aesthetic.
I totally wouldn't be surprised if they didn't do it.
Because I can only remember prototypes, and I think they got to color, but I don't remember anything else after that.
I haven't seen any reviews of it anyway.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, maybe they just haven't done it. So, maybe someone should learn to speak Chinese and go and ask them on Weibo. Because that is where all of these pictures were sourced from.
Well, there you go, Jason. There's your next week.
No, definitely not for me.
No, Bag's not it.
yeah, Bag's not me. Brad, you're up.
Yep, go on, Brad.
All right, let's move on. We've got our last news story for the night. Imaginarium Art has released more photographs of their Soundwave statue. Now, you know what? I actually think this guy's looking a little bit Revel Tech. But well may you just go, yes, that's nice. It's a cool-looking statue and stuff, but, you know, he won't move or anything. Well, guess what? Everything detaches and everything can be swapped out and moved around on this guy. So, there's parts you can... You can move things around and, there's a good sort of breakup of what's going on there. You can see there's a bending waist. You could swap it with a straight waist. So you actually do quite a lot with this figure. And essentially, like, you know, you can make him pose the way that you want him to.
Or close enough.
Yeah.
Just not in tape recorder mode.
Yes. Well, you kind of can, right? Like, you can just take that part out.
You just take the chest. Good point.
So in the pre-show, Groovy Guy, you made the point that this guy is effectively the most expensive action master ever.
Yep.
I put it to you that perhaps he's actually the most expensive parts former. But there's
challenge.
Yes. There's a lot of detail in this in the figures and the articulation there. For some reason, Laserbeak's wings come off.
He's got two bits of articulation.
You know what? I'm actually wondering whether or not you can actually take this apart, or if it's just showing you what all the parts are when they put it together.
Like, possibly, but you also see up in one of the other pictures before all these assembly ones. There's actually a picture mentioning an exclusive rat. Yeah, that picture there, exclusive rat bat, an exclusive frenzy. I wonder how those exclusives come into play. Is that going to be...
They're going to release it three separate times.
maybe if you pre-order him, you'll get those.
Yeah. Make sure you pre-order it. You don't want to see them cancelling and then coming back, re-releasing it cheaper.
Yeah, if they drop the price to $99, I'm probably in.
You're very shiny paperweight.
Can I just point out, sorry, Brad, this is 41 centimetres wide and it's 81 centimetres tall. Like, that is nearly a metre.
Yeah, but I was going to say, I like how they point the gun in there and add
the height to it. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
They also do the
statue. With
Luke's wing.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we'll just put the wing up so that we can say it's taller, right? Yeah. but, you know, like, it does actually look quite good. I didn't think it was actually that big, but wow, it's actually quite large.
Mm. If you can get it for $99, definitely a steal.
I mean, good luck putting it anywhere.
Oh, yeah, true.
I don't know where I'd put it. So,
especially, yeah. Jason, if you bought that, that would probably be your cat's very expensive scratching post.
It probably would. It might. He's usually pretty good. He won't go scratching things.
No, he doesn't jump up on the shelves.
He fucking does.
Just say you got a live action cheetor.
Yeah, pretty much. So that's actually the end. That's actually the end of the news. And we did throw the question out to the TCCA discussion group today over whether or not, if there were some questions to put in there. While we were looking at the the statue, now you did bring up that Max in the discussion group had actually asked a question about what is the most important aspect of a figure to you. Is it detail, articulation, transformation, or anything else? And so, being the podcast member who likes to look at statues, which of these is actually important to you? And maybe not a figure, but anything that goes into your collection.
I'd have to say probably aesthetics, the biggest one.
It's got to be detail, articulation, transformation, or anything.
Yeah, we gave you a very strict list, yeah. Young man.
No,
aesthetic was there. I don't know where it went. I swear I've seen it.
Oh, okay.
Well, I could go into detail as well, because as I've said numerous times, my figures don't need to transform as long as they are a good representation of the character they're representing.
I agree. Like, for me, it is detail as well, because the figures represent characters. And so, like, if you look on the shelves behind me there, practically all the figures are in robot mode, except for a couple of the shattered glass figures up the top that are in vehicle mode. But I am kind of a believer that if you display a Transformer in its car mode, you've got a toy car. So I put them in robot mode.
You got a toy robot.
Yes, but at least you have a toy Transformer at that point.
Yeah,
I feel like the robot modes are the more recognizable aspects of them.
Yeah, unless it's the live of action movies, in which case it's all product placement.
Yeah, no, you just put a can of Bud on the shelf on your phone, right?
True. Yeah.
So, Groovy Guy, what is important to you now? You do have a bunch of figures around there, and so it looks to me more like you do actually take the figures down and transform them and play with them a bit. So I am kind of guessing that you rank the transformation of the figures.
For me, it's first of all, am I familiar with the character, or is it a character that interests me? And then I would see if there are any toys of said character. And then I would see, you know, if it has a good transformation, if it's poseable, basically, if it's got a too complicated transformation, I probably wouldn't put it too high on the list. Basically, it's just looks. You know, if it looks good in robot mode. I was trying to think. I don't think I have any displayed in their alternate modes, except for Primus. I've got him in Cybertron mode.
Yep.
Yeah, that's about it. Just basically overall looks. Does it look like does it look like the character is meant to be representing?
Yeah, well, so like I said, for me, the character representation is important, and I'm not entirely sure that I do need to have a connection to the character to put them on display. Maybe I'm just casting my eye over on the shelves and see who I've got on display, and like, yeah, they all are characters that I can instantly look at and identify. And so I tend not to go for characters that were sort of lesser known. I have this thing with a lot of the G1 characters where I just sort of breezed through G1, and I think there's a lot of characters that I'm not familiar with from G1 because I just never really noticed them that much. And so, like, we eliminated a story from the run sheet this morning about a third party version of a Monsterbot. Like, I kind of don't care about Monsterbots.
No. Fair enough.
Yeah. Well, having media as well tie in. It's sort of where I'm sort of having trouble getting into the Titans Return stuff at the moment because there's just no media for it. And I hate the aesthetic.
Fair enough. I have, sometimes a character I'll be reading about, on the wiki or something and something... Jason's going. There'll be something interesting about a character to me. For example, I collect mostly Generations and Classics, but I have Armada Sideways just because he sounds like an interesting character. He's sort of like a double headmaster, but he's not a headmaster at all, and he's got like a whole mystique and aura about him. There's one character I want to get. I can't remember him off the top of my head, but he's based on the Japanese Beast Wars, and one of his accessories, I kid you not, is actually a pair of testicles. It's actually listed.
That bull? Someone posted that bull. They wanted to get him.
Yeah, I think something like that.
I can't remember his name now.
But it actually...
Yeah, it's a bull or a steer.
It's official. Like in the instructions, it says list of accessories, one pair of testicles. And I thought, I have to get that character, no matter what.
That'd be the same with Mikey wanting to get Hyrek, the giraffe anyway, because it's got the missile kneecaps.
I've seen that one. That's got an interesting feature. Its eyes move when you poke out its tongue.
Yeah.
It's just very, very weird.
But then, I think it was Sean Buchanan mentioned a few days ago when someone asked about... it was me when I posted up about where your goals or your goalposts for your collection are, and sometimes they're just bots that they might not be part of any line, but you just grab them because they're either a good looking bot, like that Galaxy Meteor before. Like, if it's a good looking bot, it doesn't mean you're going to collect the whole Unicron trilogy series of bots, but you might just grab one or two here from here and there.
That's a good thing about being a collector, is you can just create your own universe as you go.
Yeah.
So this guy's just fallen through one universe into another, and now he's going to be interacting with these characters on my shelf.
Mm.
It's always interesting.
Crossover shelves are interesting, aren't they?
Oh yes, very much so.
I do have rough themes to the shelves that I have behind me. There is a shattered glass shelf at the top. The book collections below that. Masterpiece below that, and then I've sort of got third party ones below those. So everything's segregated off nicely so that I guess no one can look Megatron in the eye. Because you know what happens when you look Megatron in the eye, right?
Not very good things.
True.
Yeah, I think I've got some separated just because of how few I have. Like I got a separate shelf for the Shattered Glass figures that have come out through BotCon, and there's very, very few of them, and I just keep them all sort of in their own shop.
I'm always on the lookout for more Shattered Glass figures.
Trouble is, a lot of them have been repurposed, which is a bit.
repurposed how? How do you mean?
Well, I mean, one of them was I was looking at it, and it was the toy of it was repurposed from the live action movie toys. And the downside of doing that is if you pick it up, you're going to have to then get a repro label to put onto it because, obviously nothing comes with a Shattered Glass logo on it unless it's a BotCon toy.
Yeah, fair enough. I never really noticed that personally. Like, there is, in fact, just looking at my Seeker collection over that way, there is, in fact, one Shattered Glass Seeker in there. So... I don't always put all the Shattered Glass together, but there's a ton of Seekers over there and a small Shattered Glass shelf up over there. He can stay over there. I am talking about Shattered Glass Thundercracker, which is that figure has the highest number of bright fluorescent colors on it that I've ever seen.
Yeah, I love that figure. I'm just too scared to transform him now because if I remember correctly, his head's gold. Is that it?
Yeah, that's correct. His head is gold, but I haven't heard of that figure suffering from gold plastic syndrome. So,
yeah, but you don't want to be the first, though, do you?
True. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, shall we move on and tackle one of the other questions that was raised in the group today as we sort of solicited some things to talk about, and I think that'll see us through to the end. A question from Mark Jones in the group. He says, with four separate product lines, movies, Robots in Disguise, Generations, and Masterpiece and Platinum, which is actually kind of another product line, are Hasbro and Takara spreading their design and marketing too thin, and or are they affecting availability of the figures? Now, I think those are separate questions that actually do warrant separate consideration. Design and marketing, I personally feel like they're doing all right on, but also Platinum, they don't really need to design because they're re-releases with repaints. But the other lines, you know, obviously they're large companies and they can afford to employ enough designers to handle the output that's required, so more power to them. But what do you think about the design? Maybe design and marketing actually need to be considered separately as well. Rudy, give us some thoughts.
I don't think they're spreading themselves too thin. I think with all these different lines, they're free to just try anything they want, and then they can put it into one of these already existing lines, pretty much just opening the playing field. And, you know, if you've got something you want to try, if it matches up with one of your pre-existing lines, and then just go for it. It's just pretty much a good expansive testing ground.
So I was reading a Q&A with the showrunner for RID today, where someone had complained that all your Decepticons are animal based and stuff. And he's like, yeah, well, you know, we do have animal based Decepticons, and yeah, it's just, you know, it's kind of the toys that Hasbro wanted to push. So somewhere along the line, someone's come up with the idea that they can make a series of animal based Decepticons, and they've managed to shove them into the RID toy line.
And they're not called Predacons.
No. No, they were not. But yeah.
No, I don't think it's a case of, you know, too many lines. I think it's perfect as it is, because yeah, they can just test out, put it into whatever the line they wish.
Yeah, Brad, what do you think? Like the Takara, the Masterpiece side of things, they tried to push it too fast last year, and now look where we are now. There's nothing apart from a repaint here and there coming out. So they probably burnt out on that pretty quick. But
I don't know. We've got Sunstreaker coming up later this year.
Yeah, there's nothing between now and then.
They're probably because they're focusing on the movie line.
Yeah. There are in fact masterpieces coming out. They're just movie masterpieces that we don't care about.
Yeah, well, yeah, good point.
But again, repaints, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I can only say, see, spreading too thin, looking at my local toy stores, I'd say yes they are, because it's just not, the quantity of figures isn't getting out there,
I think that's jumping to the second part of the question on availability, but we can go there if you want.
Well, there's five or six deluxes and four Voyagers for the movie. Like it was only a very small.
So this is the thing. We're missing waves on the movie, and we're missing figures. So I kind of feel like that says that maybe our retailers are not as interested in stocking movie figures as maybe some retailers overseas are in different markets.
Yeah, but
and ultimately, I kind of feel like. We're a country of what? How many people are we? We're like, you know, 20, 25 million or so.
Something like that.
Like we are a drop in the ocean as opposed to overseas markets. And so you're never going to get as high a saturation or as high a penetration of those figures into Transformers fans or toy collectors' hands or just kids. You're never going to get that many as many figures sold here as you would in the States, and so I feel like the availability is not necessarily Hasbro's fault. It might just be the fact that we are where we are and we live where we live.
It could also be just the fact that by the time figures actually get into Australian retail, people who actually wanted said figure have probably already bought it online, because it's available overseas much sooner than it is available in Australia.
So yeah, but I'm not talking
that many figures.
Yeah, but there aren't as many.
No, I think.
Yeah, but there's not as many bots made. Like the movie lines are diminishing in actual figures produced.
I kind of feel like that's a correction that's been overdue for the movie lines.
Yeah, we don't want massive releases
again. I remember the first movie line, I think probably 20% of the release figures were actually on screen, whereas the rest of the toys were characters that you'd never heard of.
And of course,
Dark of the Moon.
They were the ones that shell formed. And so, like, here we are now with the movie line where most of the toys are actually characters that have been on screen, even if they're not really rendered in the same way, like Cogman, right?
Yeah.
No, I've still got Wave 1 on my shelves. Grimlock and Slash everywhere. But, but then even sort of going into RID, this is probably distribution as well. I haven't seen an RID Voyager figure since that Megatronus in season one. Like, it's, I don't even know if they're making it anymore.
I feel like that's not a class that RID really wants to go to. They'll make those really big figures occasionally, but in general they're a deluxe, or they call it Warrior toy line, which is actually kind of good if scale is your thing, because like you can definitely collect all those figures and they'll all sort of fit with each other on your shelf, right?
Yeah, except for Grimlock, he should be bigger anyway.
Grimlock should always be at least a Voyager.
Yeah. But no, it's hard to go off. Like, well, I'll sit here and look at sort of all the movie figure news we sort of got and try and go off that and not off distribution, because if you went off distribution, you'd say, yeah, it's definitely spread too thin. But we don't even know what numbers, how many Voyager Primes did they make now compared to Dark of the Moon. Stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't know if this is information that Hasbro puts out there at all. Like, it might be buried in some of their annual reports and stuff. Like, sort of just rough numbers for figures, or at least sales. But it's like a technology company going to Apple and asking them how many people have signed up for an iTunes account or something. Like, they're not going to tell you.
Yeah, no.
I think all those reports are just saying how much money they've made, not exactly how much.
I think it depends on the report though, but maybe it's in there. But, they definitely do break down money earned by franchise, or profits earned by franchise, and so you can sort of infer some things there based on averages.
Yeah.
There's definitely things you can do, companies like Hasbro, they have their earnings report, but they also do a lot. They also report a lot of other things to other sectors of the market. They're all really boring to us, and so we don't look at them. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a number in there somewhere that we just don't see.
Possibly.
Yeah. So I think as to Mark's question about the number of product lines affecting availability. I want to say no, but then I also know that when I go into Kmart, I see a ton of RID toys, and I don't see any generations. So maybe it affects availability in terms of it might affect the stock that's available for retailers to get. But I'm not sure that it affects availability as such. I think that the availability is straight up on the retailers in terms of what they want to stock and what they want to bring into the country.
Yeah. It could also just depend on what Hasbro wants to push as well. I mean, they could be sending twice the amount of, RID and movie toys, because every time I go in there, RID, movie, and very few Titans Returns. And that's just usually because as soon as they're up, someone's already there and they've already nabbed them.
Mm-hmm. It's usually a member of TCCA.
There's a 16 box of Star Wars stuff they send, and that stuff sells better.
Mm. So this is the thing, right? We actually ultimately don't really know what the model that Australian retail follows to actually put their stock on the shelf. We heard, as we were talking about Toys R Us's looming or now actually declared bankruptcy in the US, we heard... it's not actually in the run sheet. It's not a spoiler alert.
I mean, have you seen the prices of last week. Figures?
Yeah. So we know when we were talking about that we heard things about Hasbro and Mattel stocking Toys R Us with things that they want to sell. So, like, I definitely think this is actually something that happens overseas, but I'm just not sure that it happens in Australia. Maybe it does happen at shops like Toys R Us, but Kmart, I think Kmart still goes out and buys the figures that they want. Otherwise, how does it explain them sitting on the shelves for so long?
I was going to say, some stores, you know, they just show the bare bone stuff. But other stores, like I think Toy World recently in Perth, they've had figures that have not still hit, you know, like Kmart and stuff. So it just depends on the individual retailer's interest in stocking these things. I think they were getting their supplies from the Philippines somewhere, and Kmart and all that gets all their stuff elsewhere. So it just depends on... depends on
Combiner Wars and what they want to get. Age of Extinction, they got bots in really early. Because I remember people getting Power Glide and that weeks, a month before Target or Kmart or anyone else had it on display as end for like $8. Right. Yeah, so. But then that's, again, that could be supplier. Who's supplying from who or buying from who and everything else?
Yeah.
Entirely possible. Shall we rule a line under that discussion instead of ruining it? We'll rule a line under that discussion. I think it's time we covered off some new acquisitions, because this week, for the first time in ages, I actually have some.
Oh, here we go.
Hooray! Brad, how are you doing with your acquisitions there?
Moving on.
Got anything on the way?
Moving on.
So, I had a couple of MMC figures arrive this week. The frankly quite gorgeous MMC reformatted Tyrantron, their name for Megatron. Now, as you can see, this figure's box is quite large. He's definitely a larger bot than I was expecting. And there you go. There you have it. Quite a good look at him. Frankly, I find him absolutely gorgeous. Let me see if I turn that off. Or that on, perhaps. No, that doesn't really help, does it? If I turn that light off, you can sort of get a...
What if you hold him in front of your shirt? Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So, so you get a much, much better look at him there. I was actually not super happy about the rounded forearms, but I actually think they work quite well. And just in terms of stature and pose, like, the leg articulation is quite good there. And he's got these skirts around his thighs that move quite well, and the hips and things. So, like, there's fantastic amount of articulation there. The ankle tilts don't move as far as you might think, but that's still, like, you know, you could actually pose him that far apart and still have him stand.
I don't think you're going to have him any more split legged than that.
No. Well, it depends what you want to do with him, right? Like, I think I made a comment in the group. I could do with his cannon being a little bit more G1-esque. Like, this does sort of pass off some of the comic design, but it's some of the earlier comic design rather than sort of the current stuff. And he also does have a bit of a tank trib just hiding at the back of his gun there, but that's okay. But he is a fantastic looking figure. There's some fairly classic. Fairly sort of classic MMC articulation. If you just look around there, where all the ratchets and everything go in there, and frankly, I'm really super happy with him, and I think he's a fantastic representation of Megatron as he has appeared in IDW comics for the last couple of years. And yeah, he photographs really well and looks great.
I've seen reviews of him, and all I've heard is just high praise for him. He looks amazing.
Yeah, so when Calidus came out, I read a review from Maz that I think quite hit home quite well, that MMC needed to make more of a big deal about Calidus, and like they needed to put a few more accessories in with him, and it was one of the pivotal characters in the comics, and they just sort of went, yeah, there's a figure off here. And I think this figure has arrived with way more fanfare, way more interest from people, possibly because it's Megatron instead of Rodimus. But I think Megatron's character development in the comics actually makes this a far more highly sought after figure. So
doesn't the figure also cover like some of his sort of
Terminus as well?
Doesn't he also sort of covered various aspects in the comic? Because I saw a review and he can transform into a drill tank. He can also transform into a space jet. So it's pretty much a sort of all-encompassing figure from the comics, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, like, let's be honest. The difference between the... Like, let me just take him down. Show you the back of the box. Let's put that there. There is not much difference between the drill and the drill and the jet, right? Like, I think it's fine. Also, I'm fairly sure the drill is a separate part, and I think the front of the jet, I think it comes off as well. So, like, it doesn't. It's probably literally the same thing upside down. Like, if I do that, look, it's a drill and a jet. See? I don't know. Frankly, if I'm honest, haven't bothered transforming him because, frankly, he looks perfect like this.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So his alt mode's a tank,
drill, and space jets.
So what's with the tracks?
Well, so like the drill is kind of tank light, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's meant to. Yeah. Tank.
And frankly, you know, I'm not sure. Not actually sure this incarnation of Megatron ever actually transformed in the comics. And also,
another thing I saw in reviews as well. There's, you know, he does transform, even though it hasn't been shown in the fiction, apparently.
Yeah, that's right. So the other thing is, technically, this incarnation of Megatron should actually have a naked right arm, because when he defected and became an Autobot, he destroyed his fusion cannon.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was a poor decision to make.
Well, so yeah, it turns out it was a poor decision to make, because Brainstorm had to make him a new one in order to get them out of a sticky situation. So yeah.
Okay.
Never throw anything out, just put it away in the cupboard.
Yes, absolutely. Right. Like, you know, just put it he should have put his fusion cannon in that Ziploc bag and just
make sure the projectile stays in.
Yeah. Make sure it's there. Make sure it's sealed, just so that and make sure that the bag is, constructed of acid-free plastic. Now, that is not the only MMC figure that turned up this week, and I am frankly ecstatic that this is the second one turned up. It is the purple version of Calidus It's the purple version of Calidus that was sold at TFCon Toronto. And I think if you order this guy from Planet Steel Express, if they've still got any of them left, I think you get a normal reformatted box style instead of this more special one with the artwork. There's Andy joining us for the podcast there as well.
Hello, Andy.
And so if we take the artwork off, you've got this... Frankly, fantastic bright green box that the figure is actually shipped in, and so yeah, it's very different to your normal MMC reformatted figure. And oh, look,
he's escaped.
He's hidden behind some shipping protectors. So yeah. Now I haven't actually opened this up yet, but let's go.
He's under his space blanket.
He's just sleeping under his space blanket.
Like you're not getting hypersensitivity.
Yeah. It's just in case he's trying to cure him of his hyper whatever sensitivity that was, and also just protect him during shipping. one of those two things is true. So I am attempting a live unboxing, which
may go poorly,
but we'll see how we go. And pull him out of his cardboard plastic prison. So there's his bow and arrow weapon there, and there's his alternate face, which is one with the slight wry grin on his face.
Oh
yeah. No, well, being Rodimus, like he's definitely. I believe you could legitimately call Rodimus a cheeky bugger. That works. So, hopefully that's the end of the plastic making a few noises here, and
Ryan's just showing us his butt.
I was trying to avoid that. Thanks, Andy. Go on, off you go. Come on, off you go. when your cat really doesn't want to move.
Can the cat please clear the shot?
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Oh, what did you just do? Oh, it's plastic. I was like, what's wrong with...
All right, if you're going to sit there, that's fine.
I was trying to figure out what was wrong with the window on that door. That's not...
The window on the door?
I think you thought the plastic wrap.
Yeah. I'm not actually sure why, because Calidus... So Calidus didn't come with that, but it might be because of the finish on it, because the blue paint is probably slightly more matte than that. But
it could heat up during transport, maybe?
Yeah, possibly. Oh my god! Do you know what I just figured out? Like, I've been on the podcast talking about this before, right? Okay, so first of all, how gorgeous is that? Second of all, like, the original is also pretty damn good, right? Now, what I have just figured out is, I think when I was talking about the original on the show, it's all right. When I've been talking about the original on the show, I've often said, like, you know, see those black things there? Like, his arms are really far out, and it's sort of a little bit kind of lazy. I have actually just figured that they just actually go right up against the body like that. So
he went to the Hasbro School of Transforming Things.
Yes, absolutely. It's mistransformed for public demonstration. So, having said that, that's actually just like way improved my impression of Calidus. And yeah, so frankly the colors on this version, I can't remember the practice in the comics that it was referred to as, but yeah, so Rodimus suffered a particular great loss, and yeah, he's not too happy about it in the comics. So he's...
Why don't you just say the name he came up with him before.
Calidus.
No, you know, beforehand, before we started recording, you called him...
Oh, Rodimo.
Yeah.
Emo Rodimus, Rodimos. Yeah. But
he's flipped the emo switch.
Yeah, that is a fantastic looking figure. A massive thanks to Zaid in the group, who actually went to TFCon Toronto and picked this up for me and posted it. And the reason it's only just arrived because it was posted with like the cheapest postage option possible to Canada to Australia.
So, went down around Antarctica first.
It did. It was posted back in, I want to say, June. It was posted possibly in June. I want to say June. It's possible it was July. But even so it spent a good couple of months on its way to me.
That's a long wait.
And at one point, I was so concerned about its whereabouts that, like, Sorry. I was so concerned about its whereabouts that I actually Googled how long does it take to post an item from Canada to Australia? And someone had asked on some, like, Stack Overflow or something. Someone had answered them and said, oh, 2 to 3 months on average if it's the lowest postage option. And if it's not if it's not going on air freight, and it's absolutely correct. It was 2 to 3 months. So yeah. But yeah, absolutely.
Mental note for next time.
Well, so this is the thing, right? Like, it cost about $20 to post this from Canada to Australia like that. And like, it's not a small box of postage. The next option, and this had no tracking at all. So like, we've been literally like, where is that thing? We don't know. And yeah, it had no tracking. The next option up, which is the lowest option with tracking, was $60. That is half the price of the figure. So fair enough, you know, maybe not.
I can't believe that. I got a figure on eBay a decade ago from Canada and it still took 3 months. Almost had to file
it
because, yeah, hasn't changed.
No, yeah, the Canadians, you know, like, if something doesn't have to change, they're not going to change it, right?
Yeah, unfortunately.
So Mr. Groovy Guy, do you want to tell us? It has been a little while since you've been on the podcast. Do you want to tell us what some of your most treasured new acquisitions are?
All my acquisitions are treasured, my friend, but here's just a small sample here.
Some are more treasured than others.
quite a few, obviously, Tripty Babes. There's a sticker guide to him on my... what are you giggling about? Oh, no, you're yawning. Jeez, I'm not that boring, am I?
No, it is like 11 p.m., so yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Fair enough.
We're not all in Perth, okay?
Well, yeah, it's only just 8:54 here. Finally got Broadside after, I think, last time I was on the show, I said, where is Broadside? And now everyone's got like 3 dozen of him shelf-warming. I've done a bit of customization on him. I removed his pile drivers.
Oh, yeah.
Just because everyone's saying, you know, hey, these pole drivers are malfunctioning. I can't get them to stay down. I'm starting to think it's just design. They're just meant to be up all the time. Also flipped around the
It'd be the same mechanism as all the Voyagers, wouldn't it? So
yeah, it's just literally this piece.
Yeah.
This piece on a spring. And you just pop it out.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, 5 or 6 screws underneath. You do have to peel one of the stickers back in order to get to that screw. Pop it out, pop him in half, and then pop the piece out. The spring's still in there, just in case for some reason I ever want to get really depressed and try and put that thing back in. I don't think I will there.
Put back.
Misfire with Aimless. I really am impressed with all the Decepticon Target Masters. Waiting to get the Autobot Target Masters. I don't even know if they've been announced yet. There's Slug Slinger. See if I can get him. He's got the most evil, sinister scowl. You see that? Thin little slits for eyes.
Sort of, yeah.
And, yeah. I just really like him. He's cool to have. One cool thing for Misfire, though, if you don't like the Headmaster gimmick, is he can actually transform without having to take the head off.
Okay.
And there's his jet mode. There's his face. And his feet can also act as extra little blasters too.
So he's saying that Aimless is Astro Boy? Oh no, no, Astro Boy's gun comes from somewhere different.
I don't think I want to know where that one is. So yeah, video reviews for all these guys. Shameless plug, I know, but hey. Video reviews for all are on my channel. I've also got Twin Twist recently. Groovy Guy. Type in Groovy Guy and you see the yellow eyes. It means I need to see a doctor. But yellow eyes, green mouth, the eyebrow.
You really should get that jaundice looked at.
Oh, man. I'm harboring it. One day it's going to be valuable, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, Tripticon's cool. I have just recently discovered that he is one of the few Tripticons to come with ulti legs. That's not through fiddling about with this guy.
That's a terrible diagnosis. Like, you know, how is he going to live the rest of his life?
Well,
he just won't move.
His hips don't lie, so he has nothing to worry about. but there is a article on TFW 2005, which I'll send Brad the link to, and he can put into the video description. And it shows you where to find your production. I can't get it on here because it's actually stamped into the box. It's not ink.
This has actually come up in the group a few times with people trying to figure out which Trypticons have dicky legs. But it'll be good to put in the description for the video as well.
Yeah. So just for reference, so you're looking at the back of the box. The number is sort of just stamped in. There's no ink. You're just looking for a dimple that makes up a number. And from what I've seen, a vast majority of the batch numbers are under the faulty subheading. So there have been a few solutions as to how to fix it. One of them was rather drastic, which involved cutting the springs in half, which I'm not a fan of doing. But there was another one. You still need to open up the legs. You grab the spring, you move the spring, and you just compress it. Do that for like 5 minutes, and apparently it's all good to go. So I think maybe they just coat the spring in something that makes it a bit solid, a bit too hard for the joints to work with, and just compressing it makes it all good as gold, apparently.
Sounds good. Yeah. Good hint.
Yeah.
So the one thing that I have found with that is that there does definitely seem to be a bit of a lack of consensus on the best way to fix it. So, good to get some advice.
Yeah, I wasn't too keen. I mean, it does look like a simple job of just cutting the spring in half, but I don't want to cut a spring in half. This other one's you still need to, get a screwdriver and dig around in there, but you don't need to slice any metal.
Yes, because once you cut, you can't go back.
Yes, once you make that cut.
That sounds like something Roddy Mo would say.
Those cuts are for life, right?
Yeah, scars never heal. So that's all for my latest acquisitions over the last couple of months. Still got a couple of figures I'm trying to hunt down, but as soon as I get them, there'll be video reviews on my channel.
Fantastic. And we will put your YouTube channel in the show notes if you are listening to the podcast and would like to check out Brad's reviews. That is basically the end of the show. We are at membership renewal season for the Transformers Collectors Club Australia. You can find details of that at transformerscca.com. Brad, there's a members only giveaway going on as well at the moment, and it ends this week, doesn't it?
Yep, it's going to be drawn. I don't know if I'm going to have time to do it at the actual event, so I'll probably draw it before I go out to bowling tomorrow night. But
there's that'll a be good because you'll be able to give Simon his present. Now, if Simon wins, I look especially smart.
And it looks rigged.
It doesn't.
Junkie on Matrix of Leadership. We've seen it a little bit earlier when we're talking about the Sydney meetup. Joel had it opened up there, but it's the members only giveaway for this month. We're looking at doing something in October as well before the reveal for the Christmas giveaway. So all the support we get helps out greatly. They've got that event tomorrow. Gonna have a local meetup here next Friday night as well. So we've got some stuff happening around the place.
Sounds good. There are birthday celebrations going on around the country over the next couple of weeks, I think. Or are they all this weekend? Yeah.
No, there's one next weekend as well.
Mm-hmm. So, weekend after. And is that Western Australia that is next weekend?
Yeah, yep.
Yep, so if you are in Western Australia, do head along to the birthday meetup. If you are in Adelaide or Melbourne, then by the time you listen to this, it is probably too late and you've missed it. But you should keep a better eye on the group if that's the case, shouldn't you?
Oh, Cat T. I thought he was the only one on screen.
I lost that bet. I thought there'd be four or five. I reckon they didn't know about the Sydney one, but there was only one from what I've seen. So.
Well, there's only one who's said it so far, but yeah. Oh, it is an interesting thing. I think in terms of In terms of promoting the event, I think we probably could have done a little bit more to keep it in the eyes of the group, but we also didn't want to drown the group with messages on it. So it wasn't until sort of the day before that we were just like, hey, this is what's going to happen at the event tomorrow. This, here's some stuff and things like that. So even then, I think we were lucky to have people not complain about us doing that. So, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, no, it's all fun. Right. Fun line we've got to walk.
Yeah, oh, that's true. It depends how busy the discussion group is on any particular day as well. But I think it's time to call end of the show. It is the end. So thank you for listening, everyone. This is a production of Transformers Collectors Club Australia, in case you could not tell, because we mentioned it a few times during the show. You can find the TCCA website at transformerscca.com. There is information about the club, what it does, and membership there. And I would encourage you, if you find some value in what we do and if we entertain you or amuse you, or if you're happy that we provide these, if you're happy that we provide these giveaways or events that you can attend and meet other like-minded Transformers fans, please consider throwing $5 the club's way. We use that money to put out tables at Supernova and find yet more fans. And I'm actually finding at the moment that there's been quite an influx of new users that I'm actually not particularly familiar with in the group. And I actually think that's great to see. So I love it every time I get a reply to something that I post on Facebook and I don't recognize the name, but I really would like to see, I really hope that I can see more new members signing up to actually be members of the club and support what we do.
Yeah, no, that's it. We're quickly approaching 2,700, so
So you can find the podcast on iTunes. How have you found this podcast that you're listening to right now? If you want to subscribe, you'll find a subscribe button on iTunes. You can go into Pocket Casts. Any of your favorite podcatchers should have access to it. Just go in there and search for Australian Transformers Weekly. And you can also find our companion podcast, Transformers Legends, which is aimed at the slightly younger stuff like Transformers R.I.D. and Rescue Bots. You can find that, Transformers Legends, on Facebook. And there's also you'll also find it on the TCCA YouTube channel. And the website for that is tflpod.podbean.com. So big thanks for listening if you have made it this far into the show. And we will be back next week with more news about Transformers in the world around us and how it relates to Australia. Thanks for listening.
Perfect. See you guys.
Doodles.
Always like to have a rating on my performance turned out the podcast.
Outstanding as always, mate.